Today we have David and Susanna with us, and so I'm going to invite them forward, and they're going to do a tag team sharing of a bit of vocational calling and the things that they are up to in Costa Rica these days. And so come on up. And just for extra context, for us as a local church, if you are new to our church, we've been in different intentional partnerships with Bolivia for about 11 years. And we did a step church relationship for three sets of 3 years, and so that was 9 years. And then in the past couple of years, we've transitioned our focus to support David and Susanna as CBM field staff. And so that's been our connection to Bolivia for over a decade. And so it's a joy when David and Susanna come to town and we're able to catch up on what's going on in their lives and what's going on in the context of their ministry. And so they're going to share that today. And we've been joking the past couple of days that this is the beginning of their 10-week Canada tour. So look at their bright, shiny faces. So we get them in all their full of energy glory. And so, David and Susanna, I'll invite you to use the pulpit mic and share with us, please.
Okay. Thanks. It's wonderful to be here with you this morning and to see familiar faces. We were just mentioning, I think we've been journeying together with First Baptist Edmonton for about 6 years. It's the first time that we came here. And it's so good to have friends and to come back and to be with you and be a part of your community and the way that your community has accompanied us in ministry these past 6 years. And we do want to say a little bit about ourselves for those of you that don't know us or that would like to know us better, right? One thing that we wanted to talk about was where we both come from and what brought us onto this journey of ministry on the road. And David is originally from Bolivia. And his dad was a Baptist pastor, an Aymara Baptist pastor. And in Bolivia, there's two main indigenous groups, and Aymara is one of them from La Paz. And he immigrated to Canada when he was about 19. And I'm originally from California. And I came up to Canada to study at Regent, just kind of drawn by the community and the theology there, and with a call to missions on my heart. And we met at Regent. And just kind of inspired each other, seeing the Bible very differently, coming from very different contexts, but a desire to serve God in Latin America. So we got married in 2006, and I think it was a month after we got married, we were already on the road fundraising because we felt called to serve God and the church in Latin America, partnering with the Canadian Baptist Church. So it's been 12 years that we've done that. We started in El Salvador, and that was partnering with the church, doing all types of ministry. We were doing kind of youth and teenage ministry, being the youth pastors. We were also doing house builds with the municipality and with the church. We were doing water projects, and just learning a lot. But we saw kind of the division between the development work and then the mission and kind of evangelism work weren't quite mapping together. And so we felt called to dig deeper into integrating the service work as well as preaching about the good news of who Jesus is and the transformation he causes in our lives. So we went to Argentina, and we were called there because CBN had a partnership with the Kairos Foundation, and that's where we received the program we're working with now, which is called SETI. And it has a basic level of facilitated small groups in churches, and we're in about six different countries with over 600 students, and then on the master's level, which is an online program, and that's open for higher education, and that's mostly for lay people. So this program is one way that we've been able to see people's lives and churches and communities transformed, both on a personal basis and their church communities, but also their impact in their families, in their workplaces, in their society and their neighborhoods where the churches are. And so that's the ministry that we're involved in right now. And so that's our... And if you want to know more about us, we are going to leave prayer cards in the back, And we have our emails there too to contact us. And these are for you guys afterwards if you're interested.
Thanks. I just want to say thank you again for having us. And it is exciting to be with you because you know us for a while, and we feel very much supported by you. So we're here to tell you about what happens to us on the road. And we thought the Road to Emmaus passage was an appropriate one because so much happens on the road, right, in that passage. And I was wondering why this passage is so well known. I mean, most of us have heard of it, right? Who has never heard of the Road to Emmaus? Or was the first time that you read it today? No one. Everybody. Yeah, that's great. Everybody's heard of this passage. And there's pictures, art, all sorts of expressions or sermons and books written about this passage. And, you know, I was wondering why it's so powerful. And it has a few ingredients to it, if you think about it. It starts with sorrow, with crushed hopes, right? These disciples had their master killed. But it builds in suspense. Someone comes along. Who is this person approaching us? And this suspense is added by God himself. Like their eyes are kind of shut. So it seems like God likes suspense in our lives for some reason. And then there's puzzlement. They express why they're confused. Why things, even the testimonies of other people, don't make sense. Or they don't know whether to believe it or not. And then there's a gradual dawning. They start putting things together with the help of this stranger. And then unexpected actions, but that are at the same time very familiar actions. The stranger breaking bread. And astonished recognition, hearts pounding, hearts alive, and then running, excitement to tell others about what happens. This is a good picture of the Christian life, whether you're here in Edmonton or whether you are in the several countries that we've lived in. You might, in our lives, we all turn to someone. We hope that someone will help us understand something, right? And in those moments, we are delighted to find in Scripture some revelation, some guidance for those confusing times. Someone who, or we are thankful for that person who comes along and helps us understand or see truth in a different way. And then in the Christian life, we realize that that person or that community that comes alongside was Jesus himself. That we didn't see him, but he was there. And then it makes sense. And then we're excited about it again. Those are some of the reasons why this story is so popular, so powerful. And that happens to us on the road. As we teach, as we train, as we pray with people, as we open the Scripture with people. But something that is key for us in the work that we do is to begin to see ourselves not as the disciples, see as the ones feeling these things, experiencing these things, but sometimes see ourselves in the role of teachers, so like Jesus himself. So we always strive in our ministry to think or to begin by asking a question. And one of the key questions that we ask is a very simple one. What's going on? What are you guys talking about? And you wouldn't think that that's a good place to start with, but it is a good place to start with Jesus himself starts with this. He's going to reveal himself as the resurrected Lord to these disciples. And the way he does it is by coming alongside, starting to walk with them. So that's how we try to model our work, walking alongside communities, walking alongside churches. And rather than begin saying, well, we have this amazing material, something that's going to change your life, something that you've never seen, we like beginning by asking, what are you talking about? What worries you? Why? What's happened? This question brings the opportunity for people to tell you what's important to them. Wouldn't you think that that's happened to us time and time again?
Yeah, and I think one of the other questions as we're entering, walking alongside people on this journey, on this road, is who do they believe God to be? Who do they see Jesus to be? And the way that we see that Jesus himself walks with us in the ability that we have to see, to help us kind of reorient ourselves to see him more fully. And that's, I think, what drew us to theological education, because it's helping people's minds and hearts kind of be renewed on a deeper level as they challenge some of their assumptions they had about God, that they were maybe given in their culture, in their families, the way they were brought up. And it's the material that we have brings that to the table through the communities in their church. I've been a part of facilitated a group, a family, the model, and also I teach a spirituality course. And one of the big emphases in that course is thinking about who is the Trinity? How does the Trinity interact with one another? How are we invited into that Trinity? And so there's so many assumptions that come. There's so much often that we don't realize that we're blind to things, but it's through conversation with one another, asking the right questions, that allows that to come to the surface and allows people to be able to interact differently in their own families, in their churches, and to see ministry and mission in a new light.
So another aspect that that shapes our ministry in theological education is breaking bread with others. And this is an important place. The sitting at the table with others is an important practice for us, because it creates fellowship. It creates a space for hospitality. So what we are after in the work that we do is to encourage churches to model Christ in this way, to ask the community to, first of all, walk alongside the community, right? Second, to ask, what are you talking about? What worries you? Or what makes you glad? And in third place, to break bread with them. It is in these actions that the community, the church, understands Scripture better, and the community outside might understand or might be open to hearing Scripture better. So walking alongside, asking, and breaking bread together. And we like this idea of the journey. Realizing with our students and with our colleagues and with each other that it is on the road that these things happen. And education for us has a lot to do with seeing the current reality with new eyes, with kingdom eyes. So this happens in spaces in the family. So let's look at our family relationships, or the way we organize the time and the activities and the chores at home with kingdom eyes. Let's see our vocation, our professional calling, or the things that we do day to day with kingdom eyes. Let's see the church with kingdom eyes. let's do these actions. Walk alongside the communities, ask them what's in their hearts, and breaking bread with them. This happens, this can happen in unexpected ways. I want to share a little bit of how this happened to me, not too long ago. It came to my mind because in this passage that we read, the Road to Emmaus, the Bible tells us, or different Bibles versions tell you different data about it, about the distance that they walk. But it's basically about 11 kilometers, right, from Jerusalem to Emmaus. So that caught my attention because we started running this year quite a bit. We decided that, you know, we needed to adopt healthy habits, and so we started running and counting kilometers. So I was like, oh, it's interesting, 11 kilometers. So twice that, and remember, they walk that, and then they run the second part, right? So that's half a marathon. I was like, wow, that's an incredible story. And then I started measuring the time. So maybe they did that walk in 2.5 hours, you know, the first round. So a month ago, I was in England, and I had the opportunity to run a half marathon. And it was an unforgettable experience for me because it was I had trained a lot for it, and I was really looking forward to it, to this event. But a week before the event, the half marathon, I injured my knee. And it was healing, but very slowly. And people's advice, including Susanna, was not to risk a bigger injury. So I thought, well, that's wise. But I asked people to pray for me. And I felt silly asking people to pray for my knee so that I could run this. But then I heard this lecture, which Eugene Peterson said, every time you ask someone to pray for you, the church becomes stronger. Because that's what the church is supposed to do. So that stuck with me. So I'm going to ask everybody that I know to pray for my knee, I thought. And I'll make the church stronger that way. But you see, it's not about me making the church stronger, but it is true. It's just like, well, I'll bring these requests, and I'm supposed to do that. That's what the church is for. So on the day of the race, I woke up, and the knee felt healed. And I was like, it's a miracle. Wow. So I decided to show up and go to the line of...
The starting line.
But then, as soon as I got there, the knee started to hurt again. So I was like, oh, no. But I couldn't get out because there was like 13,000 people there. So I thought, well, I'll walk and, you know, and maybe I'll start running very, very slowly. And the moment my knee hurts, I'll stop and I'll just go home. So we all started running. I started running very, very, very slow. And I was more amused with the festive occasion, live bands, children giving you baby jellies on the road, and just wanted to high five you. So I thought, well, this is fun. I could do this a little bit, and I kept running. As I kept going, I started to pay attention to the people who were running around me. I thought, well, I'm always asking people to pay attention to the context. So I'll do this so I can distract my mind. So of the knee, right? So I started looking around who was with me. And I noticed that some were very young, and of course they were running way faster than me. But some of them were pushing 80, and they were running a little bit faster than me, some of them. But I was like, wow, when I'm 80 years old, maybe I would would like to do this, you know, just, and some of them were just walking. And I thought, I'm glad they're here, even if it's just for walking. And then I saw other runners that were there because they wanted to raise funds for research against cancer, for instance. And I felt really moved when I saw parents that were running in memory of children they had lost. And I felt honored to be there in the presence of these people. And I became aware of my knee. And I realized we are on the road with injuries, with things that we carry, with things that hurt us, either physical or spiritual, emotional. And it was a good metaphor for me how, in what place we do theological education. People bring these things. We don't ask them to forget about them. We ask them to bring these things to theological reflection. God may do something with them. A few kilometers later, we left the city. And there were no more crowds. And the people that I was supposed to keep up with, they had long left me behind. And it became silent. And at that moment, I felt sad because I wasn't running the race the way I had wanted to run it. I had trained for weeks and weeks for it, and I was running so slow. But then, as we approached a tiny community outside Oxford, I noticed that two churches had come out to play the music with the worship bands out on the street as the runners were passing by. And I thought, the church is being part of the community. It was a Sunday. I love the idea of a church that behaves like a good neighbor. It gave me energy. And I remember the many city students that after studying with us, have organized their communities to, for instance, do organic gardening?
Yeah, a neighborhood garden for organic for the community where the church is.
And, you know, just invite neighbors to be part of that and have a place to talk. So I thought, the church is a good neighbor. What a brilliant idea. That renewed my energy. And then something happened on the kilometer 14th. Half marathon is 21 kilometers, right? So on the 14th kilometer, I decided to walk because my knee was starting to bother me. But then I realized that if I took long strides, long steps, it didn't hurt as much. So I thought, well, running takes longer steps, right? So maybe I'll run. So I ran the last 5 kilometers. And this is odd because most people in that part of the race are either dropping off or like resting or just walking, but I started to run. And that was because I had run so slowly the first 15 kilometers. And as I was re-entering the city, I could hear again the crowds cheering and the children. I had put my name here in the tag or whatever they give you to run. And instead of putting David, I put Nacho. So the children liked it. They like saying, go Nacho, go Nacho. So I just kind of have fun with it. And as I entered, I actually ran my fastest 5 kilometers ever. And I crossed the line and I couldn't believe it. I had finished this in about 2 hours and 30 minutes, which is the same time that disciples probably walking at a normal pace took with Jesus to get to Emmaus. It was all grace for me in this race. It was all grace for the disciples in the road to Emmaus. It is all grace in the road of life. So theological education for us is opening our eyes to that grace that God has given us in work, in family, in society. What signs of grace have you found in the work that we do? In the courses that you've taught or in the modules that you facilitated?
For me, I think the most exciting part is like what David's talking about, accompanying people on the road and being a part of the conversation that Christ is already having with them and helping them hear what he's saying and be a part of that process of seeing their eyes opened. I love one of the things we look at in my course is some of the questions that Jesus asks his disciples. Or the people that call out to him, you know, the blind man's calling out, and Jesus always says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Or he asks Peter, "Who do they say that I am?" You know, how often Jesus is questioning us, inviting us into the conversation. And I love being on the road, being in those questions with people, and not coming with the answer, but listening with them to Jesus answering them. And again, even when Jesus asks Peter, "Who do they say that I am?" and Peter says, "You're the Christ," and he says, "My Father has revealed this to you. No human has done that." And then a few verses later, that's when Peter's saying to Jesus, "You won't have to die. You won't have to go to the cross." And just how that is an important part of our growth is that God reveals things to us, and we're moving forward on our journey. But we don't have the whole picture. And it's a constant learning, a constant having our eyes opened, discovering Christ again in a deeper way and his kingdom and how it's not what we expect. And journeying with people in that is just beautiful because every moment God's surprising you with the gifts they bring, with the conversation he's having. And so we don't come with answers, but we come with a desire to walk with people and see their life transformed through knowing Christ more, and we know Christ more as a result as well.
So yeah. So for us, theological education in Latin America over the last few years has been about not having the whole picture, but wanting to have a clearer picture. And it has been about not having things work out or seen in the lives of our students, that things don't work out the way you thought they were going to work out. But, as Susanna was saying, our work is also about realizing with our students that Christ has been present all along and enter into that conversation that Christ is having with our students, with us, with the church, and the conversation that Christ is engaged in the broader society, in the local community, inviting us and the local church to be part of that. Thank you for your support. We really are thankful for it. We couldn't do our work without your support. And it is greatly comforting to know that there are churches, there are individuals who pray for us regularly and that support us and give us their trust. So thank you. Thank you again.